Welcome to AE Double Back for June 17th, 2020. This is the recap show for AEW Dynamite. I'm Robert Clark Chan.
How many E's are in it now?
You know what? It's supposed to be one. I heard myself saying two, maybe three, and I'm just going to let it go. I'm just going to see how many E's we get. I see how elite the show is. Right now,
like, I just want to I just want to say that our first frontline medical like professionals are getting by with sometimes half an E at best.
Yeah, that's true.
They're empties.
I'm just saying, I am leaning back on a couch. This is not at all professional podcasting behavior. If this were a real podcast, I'd be sitting up straight. I'd have my cans on right. I would be properly hydrated and just really laser focused on that microphone. And I'm lying back and I am relaxing.
You're gonna dehydrated.
You're gonna get how many goddamn syllables you're gonna get for any given word.
Are you? Look, do you have a cracked, chapped lips and all? You're saying as well?
Look, I don't think we should give anybody a hard time. And if you can't lay back and just sort of mumble into your mic during a podcast, then what was this coronavirus for?
Yeah, why did we start this in a lab if not for this very
Why
thing?
Did we go on this journey in the first place?
Was
this
it about
is a voyage of discovery?
Was it about the infections we created along the way? Is that what it was?
Yeah, not yes. The friendships.
That's... Oh.
Suck it. I'm kidding. You guys, we're starting it off big.
Boom.
Oh, yeah.
We've
oh,
got
yeah.
a big match. Gotta keep what... Now I'm forgetting if this was for a belt or for the Fighter Plus.
No, it was actually for the belt. Omega and Paige are the champions. Mm-hmm. Theoretically, the Natural Nightmares could have taken the belts from them and then been, you know, the champs going into Fighter Fest, but they did not. Spoiler.
Yes.
For like 15 seconds from now when we would have said what the actual ending was.
You should know it was a fun match. It was very weird. There's lots of launches and acrobats, which I don't associate with any of these performers. I don't associate acrobatic and like launch moves with these guys, but they're all really capable of it because they did it.
Yeah, Omega does it. He's not a high flyer per se, but he does some acrobatics. The thing about Hangman Page is that he's a big guy who does fly a little bit, so Dustin and QT are kind of getting up there in age, but you know, they'll bust something out a little.
I think at least with Hangman, like, you can pretty much put anything into cowboy shit that you want, and so like there's gonna be a little high flying in there.
Let me tell you, his unders, Adam Page's unders, the Hangman, whatever, the lettering, it looked like the Price is Right letters.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
It was all sparkly. I was like,
oh, man.
I would do that. That's why I would get into wrestling.
Dude, if there were a wrestler whose name was Price, absolutely should that should be his t-shirt.
I bet it's like a trademark or something, but still.
Well, I mean, you're not going to know unless you try.
Exactly. Until they send a cease and desist, I'm not budging. go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I'm finding that a lot of these opening matches, I don't really care about the performers particularly, but they keep putting on such a real... a strong opening match that I find myself engaged, and I find myself going into the rest of the show being like, yeah, all right, we just got some solid wrestling. That felt pretty good.
Like, it started fast and it didn't stop. Like, it was like, there was a lot going on.
Yeah. And it was apparently a verbally very spirited match, which set the tone for the whole night, because there were many bleeps.
Yeah, there are lots of bleeps. Yeah. And I don't know if it's because someone's swearing or because they're mentioning, you know, some other network that should not be named.
I don't think that's a problem there.
Not even WWE, but just the USA Network.
Yeah.
It's something that I feel like they might have been doing deliberately, because you get that every once in a while. You know, people are in a ring and they're, you know, exerting themselves. You get like a random fuck that comes out. But the fact that they bleeped multiple times during this episode suggests to me that they're kind of doing it to sort of like to juice it up a little bit. Give it a little more excitement.
Maybe.
And you did. You actually asked in the chat, Calder, like, what did they censor? Like,
yeah,
I indeed. Don't think there's anything wrong with that sort of thing being like, oh my goodness, things must be getting real tense here, because looks like somebody, you know, dropped an F-bomb they had to bleep. Wow, okay.
And I didn't think that they were necessarily trying to sweeten anything, but it occurs to me that, you know, one, sometimes they bleep things just because it's not that something unsavory was said, but it'll be like, after the fact, we realize that this person can't face that person, so we have to like bleep out where we were teasing their match or something like that. That I feel like that's happened, or there is no crowd, there's less crowd noise. It's a lot of organic stuff will just happen, and maybe we're hearing more bleeps because more of that normal stuff is extremely audible right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is also where you can find all of my books on Extremely Audible.
Ooh. Okay.
No, you live with that. You sit and think about what you just did there.
I'm going to do it.
We all have to
called Extremely Audible, and you know what? You're gonna hear those fucking books.
And that's what that's what they're called. They're called fucking audiobooks.
Yeah. Are they not just too audiobooks. Loud? Okay.
Yeah, it's just everything peaks.
like it's just constantly clipping.
I will say that I don't follow Dark, and so when they keep bringing up this Allie storyline, I find myself a little bit intrigued, but also I kind of want to see, like, okay, what is the story they're trying to communicate to me, given that I don't watch Dark? How well are they doing communicating it? As it is now, this Allie person comes out, and apparently she's been distracting QT, and Dustin, you know, wants him to sort of, pay attention, and so, like, she can't come out there. So I'm sort of getting that maybe QT's character is kind of a dork who doesn't get a lot of attention from women, and this woman sort of interested in him, and so there's that. JR called her Jezebel popping right out, and I was like, whoa, that is strong. Yeah, like, she must have done something, and she's like, not like she's actually a heel trying to deliberately sabotage the team, or it was just a really weird call on JR's part, and I'm not sure which it is.
The only thing I've seen of this on Dark when I've managed to watch is basically what you saw. It's essentially just the same thing of her being like a temptress, and to my knowledge, there was not much explanation, although, like I said, they could have like filled in stuff while I was not looking. But
what
she
is
would
she tempting?
I don't know. Like, but she was straight up coming out with an apple and eating an apple or something.
But tonight she was trying to get QT to, like, you know, get back up and get focused and get back in the fight. She seemed to be encouraging him. So it's like, it seemed to be the opposite of what you say, or the opposite of what Dustin thinks.
Yeah. Yeah,
she's not distracting him. She's trying to help him.
That's why I'm a little confused. I'm unsure if it's something that, you know, like they're trying to draw my interest in by, you know, it be, by leaving it deliberately ambiguous, or if there's just a little miscommunication with, you know, what they're trying to sell me on. And I don't know. It does. Bottom line is, I'm still not particularly interested in the Natural Nightmares. I think it's a terrible name. The wrestlers are perfectly adequate. I just don't have any interest.
I'm middling it.
All right. I'm giving you a thumbs up because I still thought it was, it all was real good, but yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll middle it as well. Because like there was some good stuff, but it didn't really rouse a lot in me.
Yeah. You know what that means. All right. We have a new person on the scene, and can I say, holy fucking shit.
Right? So,
Abaddon, and she's against Anna Jay.
And they really suckered me on this, because when Anna Jay came out, like they were pushing her just like you would someone who's like the bright young star. She came out looking very much like a golden haired baby face. Just with a weird Zatanna kind of gimmick, like she's gonna saw some dude in half or something.
like a typical woman, am I right?
Well, like maybe a typical female magician or a female magician's assistant.
And they also like they did the thing of just saying she's in action, and like I was like, okay, it's a squash, like I don't know who she's gonna face, but it's gonna be somebody like she's gonna trounce. They really played that out.
Look, okay, Abaddon is the scariest fucking thing on earth.
Legitimately.
Runs at them. She fucking tosses people around. She's looks hideously scary.
Mm-hmm. Like she even when the ref, all the way to the ring,
and even when the ref tried to like you know proclaim her victory and raise her hand, she screams at him and like fucking tries to attack him. I mean, the shit was insane. I mean, replaces any other scary figure that's ever existed in wrestling.
Well, I mean, look, she gives Bray Wyatt a run for his money.
Fuck yeah. I mean, he doesn't exist compared to her.
Oh, wow, no. Okay.
No, it's not even close. Like,
I'm glad the lights were on. I'm glad. Fuck.
Like Bray Wyatt can, like... I honestly like Bray Wyatt is scary, like in the way that you could ever really have said that Jason was super scary, which was not very, just looking at Abaddon's face, like outweighs like the full, I don't know, like it's her eyes are just horrible.
Yes.
I like Bray Wyatt because he managed to bring this sort of scary creation into wrestling and make it work and make me believe in this, you know, weird clownish character in the context of professional wrestling. Abaddon is like legitimately separately terrifying in the way that, you know, like if you saw her in a horror movie, you'd be like, well, that is a terrifying psycho killer that's going to murder me. And she did a fantastic job here in this match. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to see how it continues on, like how it is folded into this world of wrestling. And if it continues on, you know, melding well, great. And if not, then like, well, then it feels like something that is very scary and not quite correct for this thing. As it is, though, I'm sold 100%, and I'm super looking forward to more of this.
Now, after I give this a thumbs up, because great, yeah. Great first fucking First try.
Also, this was the first time I noticed that Britt Baker was handing notes off to announcers.
In the previous,
yeah, mm-hmm. But this was the one, like, because they said, like, oh, here's another note. This broad needs to find Jesus. I'm like, what?
Oh my god!
What is that? That was fantastic. More of that, please.
Broad.
Yeah, broad. So, anyways, thumbs up.
Yeah, same.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah yeah.
Now after this, a dark order comes up because Anna Jay is all sad. So it comes up on the screen, and then Brody Lee walks out with the dark order. Now here's a moment I have to describe because I was just like, oh, not right now, please. One of the Dark Order guys has a shaved head, and he started getting in the face of the party and yelling at them. And I was just like, right now, I really can't handle this image. Like, no, like, I can't. That's all. That's all I wanted to say about that specific part. But they offered what's his face and a Dark Order offer.
Colt Cabana.
Yep.
Colt Cabana. That's it.
They gave him an envelope with like a few stapled pages, and he looked at it quizzically. He, you know, sort of not understanding. So it may be an offer, or it may be something else. It's not clear. I don't.
List of all his.
Well, it became clear later. They did explain that later on.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, Anna Jay leaves with Brody Lee, and I think she's going to become a dark sorceress, and they're going to become a power couple.
This could be. Could be.
I'm for a power couple. I don't want to see her just be arm candy.
Exactly. I don't want that.
Maybe
either.
Brody Lee is the arm candy.
Whoa.
I mean, I'd be into that. He's an attractive man.
20 motherfuckers.
We're living through the worst plague of our generation, motherfuckers.
More like arm poison, flips shit around, right? Oh yeah. I the thing that was very funny to me was like that when they come out to bring Colt Cabana like the manila envelope, I just was thinking, like, that envelope is too thin. They passed on him. That's so sad for Colt Cabana. It's like, thank you for applying. We encourage you in your wrestling endeavors and hope you'll try it next year.
Look, if you're going to get rejected, you're going to get it in one of those regular letter sized envelopes. You're not going to get the full manila. Like, there's information in there.
I don't know. Maybe their organization is that fancy that all they have is manila.
Oh, boy.
I've gotten some pretty elaborate, like, no thank yous.
One of my most elaborate no thank yous is I flicked a guy in the forehead when he tried to say something and I was walking by.
Wow.
It has a backstory. It stood me up several times. I kept giving him a chance. And the one time we did go out, he was like Chester Molester. He was like being really weird. Yeah. Ugh. And gross and like not like forcing my hands to do things that they didn't want to do.
Good Lord.
Yeah, it was bad. So then I saw him out one night and I was on my way to the bathroom and he was sitting near the bathroom and I saw his face light up and he was about to say something and I flicked him in his forehead and kept going.
that is
no thank you.
Fair to say the least.
Wow, that is much meaner than a manila envelope.
Yeah, well.
Well deserved, by the way.
Like you could cut somebody with a manila envelope.
I mean.
Put blades in it.
Is there a more cutting jibe than a flick of the forehead? I would say no.
It's pretty clear. Anyway, so this bit, do we want to rate this little bit? Because it was like a little different chunk. Or I would just thumbs up it with the whole thing.
Yeah, whole thing thumbs up.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah, that's really gerrymandering some of the thumbs into a smaller territory.
Well, sometimes it has to be done for America.
you guys, MJF and Wardlow versus Billy Gunn. It's actually technically just MJF versus Billy Gunn. And Wardlow and Austin.
It's technically only
on.
Billy.
What?
I said it's technically only Billy.
Well, he doesn't go by Billy Gunn. He just goes by Billy?
Oh, that's right. Sorry, you asked what his name was. Isn't he Billy Gunn? Because it's called the Gun Club.
He's Billy Gunn, but it's one of those things that they're getting, like, they think what I understood was that Billy Gunn was like in wrestling, it was so confusing. It was like he can sell a Billy Gunn shirt, but he can't wrestle as Billy Gunn. It was one of those kinds of things. And that feels like the entire reason his sons are there, because they can be Gunn, he can't be Gunn.
The WWE owns, they usually own the names of anybody who's under contract with them, like forever and ever.
Oh, fine.
But it's this, which, like, there are all these layers of complexity to it.
The reason why he's called Cody and not Cody Rhodes is because WWE owns the name Cody Rhodes.
I see.
Their trademark might have expired and he might have swiped it back up, but it's not gone through yet.
Damn.
Yeah, I feel like
just like waiting on the sidelines, like Michael Jackson when the Beatles music. the trademark went up, and he's just like, I'm just gonna fucking buy it.
Yoink,
even though y'all my friends and I did songs with Paul McCartney, I'm just gonna be like, sorry. Now I'm making money off of it, bitch.
Oh man. Yeah, that's a weird thing that they're like, well, we'll still get the Gun in there. We just have to always have at least one of his sons around. And if they factor into the story at all, that's definitely a bonus. But the important thing is that we're able to like put Billy and Gun big, and then like Austin or Colton like in the middle of that, very small.
Yeah. So yeah, MJF, he was getting his butt kicked, so he started leaving. And then Billy Gunn goes into the little tunnel and brings him back like fireman carry. I thought I heard one of the announcers saying someone was being ginger on that left wheel. I was like, wheel? The fuck does this mean? Is this a term I don't know?
That is a JR-ism for a leg.
Gosh.
Yep.
Okay.
He's got a bad wheel.
I see.
Oh, a wheel, bad wheel.
Our arms wheelie, wheelie also bad. Wheels, or our arms windshield wipers.
Wheels.
MJF eventually knocked out Billy Gunn, and
with a foreign
object. Too bad, because Billy was doing so good, and I was just like, oh my god, is MJF gonna lose? But of course not, because they're tricky.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is textbook stuff. Like, Billy Gunn gets to look like, you know, a hugely over dude. He's like, honestly, yeah, I'm still constantly amazed at how good he looks at his age.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's not particularly mobile, but he just looks imposing and real strong, and he gets to show off some strength moves. Yeah. And
he seems more capable right now than Goldberg.
Probably. Well, I mean, he's been wrestling this entire time, as opposed to Goldberg, who's Lord knows what he's doing. But and then MJF just plays the cowardly heel the whole time, and like he only gets over when he can sort of cheat or like, you know, resort to dirty tricks, you know, like a chop block on those knees, and then, you know, whipping out the the diamond ring. Like, mm-hmm. It's all perfect. It gets both people over exactly like they should be.
And there was some good outside interference in this match as well.
Yeah.
I did not. I never like it when it turns into a big old audience brawl. Like, I want those people on the outside. I want them not even really interacting with the wrestlers. I just want them there making noise, and I want them all just like back and chilling and not, or just social distance, motherfuckers. That's all I want.
It's true, but I will say, like, it does add some crescendo into the fights that are happening at Fyter Fest, because we've got the dinosaur dudes and MJF and Wardlow, like, kind of in each other's faces, and Wardlow and Luchasaurus, like, totally not letting it drop, and so everyone's trying to pull them apart, and, you know, like, that, it adds passion, it adds, like, something to it. So as much as it is sort of a pain in the ass, because you're like, oh, whatever, it's not like I'm intensely interested when that happens, but it does make me, it does end up lending itself to the story of they hate each other so much, they cannot wait until they get to, you know, beat each other up later.
I'm not wild about necessarily, like there was some more kind of like not real, like, sensible, like, brawling in tonight's show, but I do like when, like, somebody on the outside, like, lends some kind of a logic to why some of the things that happen. You know, something that, like, distracts attention in a way where you're like, okay, well, at least you gave me something to explain why things played out as they did, instead of just having it happen. So that was what I liked.
Sure. I give this whole thing thumbs up.
Same.
Yeah, that's very fair.
So next we have a Jericho interview. Interesting, because they're like, why'd you do this to the orange juice dude? And he's like, well, because he interrupted the Inner Circle too many times, so we beat him to a pulp. And we're blood brothers, and blood brothers are better than best friends, and blood is thicker than OJ. I was like, did you ask OJ about that? Because
honestly, you can go buy yourself a carton of country style or orange juice and find out. Just empirically pour some into a glass and then bleed a little bit. I think you'll find that the extra pulp orange juice is thicker than blood.
Yeah, if you have chunks in your blood, see a doctor immediately.
Yeah, that's the COVID. Yeah,
it's called a clot, and it's not good.
I will say, the interviewer asks, like, the first question, and Jericho says, well, it's a simple answer. You got a fat head, Marvez. Like, you know what? That was beautiful. Chris Jericho, god
he's
damn it.
So good at it. I thumbs up it. I love it when he talks.
Yeah. Let's roll in this also. There's a short Britt Baker thing into this segment too. Okay.
So this is also great. So Dr. Britt Baker, she's pissed off at everybody, and she's yelling at what's his face about a friendship timeout, and she wants to get out of there.
Tony Schiavone.
Her little wheelchair is on the back of this truck thing. And it's sort of like a golf cart, but it's huge and it's sort of truck like. Anyways, whatever. so she thinks her little minion is in there, but it's not. It's Big Swole. Uh-oh. And so Big Swole is like, you know what? I will take you out of here. Boop, boom. And then they leave, and we don't know what happens. We don't know what happens for an hour.
I'm going to put you where you belong, Heffa.
Yeah.
The way she says Heffa is music to my ears.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So, and you know what? Okay, well, I have something to say about her later. But anyways, we'll talk about what happens later, right? Or do we want to talk about...
Yeah, that's like, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God's. Is that not what the Bible tells us?
But what is that in reference to? I'm lost.
Well, you said, like, let's leave later for later. I'm just saying, you know, yeah, now for now, later for later.
Okay. That's why they're called now and laters. Anyways,
yum.
This whole bit thumbs up.
Yeah, sure. Same.
Okay, my, like, this, this, this had like more of like the dynamics in the Inner Circle that I love so much, like in like with or in the earlier part that we're talking about, where Jericho and Sammy Guevara are sort of like riffing in the moment, and together they finally come up with "Beat Him to a Pulp."
Mm-hmm.
Like it took their collective effort. Now, not even they did. I don't think they said that a week ago. It felt like that, like they just were like, you know, we should have been saying "Beat Him to a Pulp" a long time ago. I feel like a dummy. And I was, oh my god, how delighted I was when it was revealed to be Big Swole. I was like, oh no.
Here we go. It's all happening. Let's see. Then we have the TNT match, and I was surprised to see it so early in the show, because it has been, in the last couple weeks, the last thing. So yeah,
I prefer it earlier in the show, because it is a thing that you're going to get every week, and it's always the same person, and it's good to have the possibility that it could run a full hour. When it's, you know, it's the last 10 minutes of show, well, that's how long the match is going to go. But if you put it in the middle, then, you know.
No one knows.
Yeah. So, like, this is where it should be, I feel like.
I think it can be very elastic. Like, you can, like you can essentially stretch it to be what you want it to be that week. But and it's not bad for it to be unpredictable.
So, the opponent was revealed basically right as the match is beginning, and it's Ricky Starks.
Yeah,
Ricky Starks.
He's ready to go. So
there were some rumblings based on how they worded what Cody said a couple weeks ago, that like sort of like an open challenge, like anybody, not even in this company. And so people were wondering, like, who are we going to bring somebody in? And indeed, they did.
Yeah.
They were analyzing Cody's words like QAnon.
Yes.
Oh god, don't get me started. So yeah, he's ready to go. There's a lot of cool moves. Swinging DDT I had not seen, so that was really cool.
Yeah.
They bonked heads pretty bad. There was punching. It was decent.
Yeah.
You guys have thoughts?
Yeah, it was fun. It's really interesting how AEW works so that there really feels like much, much blurrier of a line distinguishing, like, and this is, I think, a good thing, like, what are the, like, operative elements of the show in terms of wrestlers, and what is chaff that it, or what is filler, what is like pure enhancement of some kind, what is like what is inside the company and what is outside the company. And like in WWE, like everyone is like main roster or like NXT development, like it's all some level of that somehow, it feels like, or I don't know, but there's something very interesting about the idea that like you'd never really know what someone is when they show up on the show. You're like, I don't know, it could be one time only, and if it is one time only, it's not necessarily because they're local talent. It could be because they were contracted for one job and they're really still a big deal outside of AEW. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know who, like, Ricky Stark seems really cool. Like, it would be awesome to see him again, and maybe I'll have to go find him someplace else if I want to.
Yeah, it was a good match. This, again, Cody wins, and there's good sportsmanship. I love seeing this good sportsmanship at the end. It's so cool. Makes me
feel
good.
I do like that too.
Good for everybody, you know?
I love that. I really do.
We all win. Look at that. We all won. I don't know how to rate this.
I'm going thumbs in the middle, because it was all fine, but again, Cody doesn't do much for me usually, and Ricky Starks was fine, but like nothing that really engaged me much.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of it too. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Guess what, everybody? Now we're going into Superbad Squad and the Young Bucks.
Ooh.
What's up, everybody? And you know, you can't get away from the Butcher and the Blade and FTR. They're all on the sidelines.
And can just I observe that it seems like the Butcher and the Blade are possibly currently house painters?
Yeah,
I don't understand.
What's with those outfits? I don't know. I was like, they're either sailors because they're little caps. Or
yeah, I was like, they're either sailors or like it was a very like they're trying some stuff out. Like and I don't know what they're.
What kind of outfit can span the gamut between either a sailor or a painter? That's pretty interesting.
I'm willing to give them some room to experiment because there when AEW first opened up, there were like. The Dark Order and the Nightmare Family and the Butcher and the Blade all had exactly the same aesthetic. And pretty quickly they realized, oh, we need to sort of like spread out. Like you take this chunk of Gotham and you people over here do this. And so like they're still trying to find their thing. I think it's kind of a shame because they looked really great at the beginning. They just look like too many other people, so hopefully they'll settle on something that is unique, but also
they could do a Sweeney Todd thing.
Okay, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah,
yeah, like a butcher and a baker and a candlestick maker.
Yeah, man.
I think that they should. I think that they should be the Gorton's fisherman and the little salt girl.
Oh, Morton, you know who was available? Morton. One of them could be Aunt Jemima and the other could be Uncle Ben.
Oh my God.
Are they available?
I believe they are.
Models. Yep. Actually, Aunt Jemima is changing the name too. So we don't even know what it's going to be called.
Yeah. Teresa, you're right. Morton Salt is who I was thinking of.
Oh, Chicago company. So of course I know that. My first name suggestion for Aunt Jemima is just to be called Aunties. I like that. That'd be fun. Auntie. Anyway, whatever. Well, that's just me though, guys. Clearly I'm in the wrong. I'm kidding. One of the commenters said Jimmy Havoc is all man. Something about how like, oh, keeps getting up, da da da, and someone's like, well, Jimmy Havoc is all man. I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Does that mean like anybody could be like half somebody or half person? Like, what the fuck, guys? What do you
like we're all on a spectrum.
More?
I'm half the man I used to be. Half the man I
90s.
Used to
be. Oh, that. Let's live and die in the 90s. Isn't it 90s?
Yeah. That's why you go back to your 90s pseudo grunge for any life lessons you need.
That's true. Original emos got it down the first time. Kip Sabian, he was mega bloody. I noticed this and I had to make mention.
Yeah, got clipped on the ear or something.
Yeah, it was fucking bloody as shit. It had to have been a head wound because he was really, it was bleeding out.
Yeah.
I
think too many uses of the wet floor sign this match.
Right.
Saw it at least twice. Like, you want to use that sign once. And then move on. Find another foreign object.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's what you want, but like if you're trying to win a match.
True.
You know what? I don't give a shit about wins and losses. I want to be entertained, and two uses of a wet floor sign does not entertain me.
Look, this is not Streets of Rage. Like the foreign objects do not like vaporize after two uses or something.
I want someone to have like a dash of like water balloons, just see what would happen.
Sure, there's
maybe
no way they wouldn't do that.
Orange juice, that's a thought. So anyway, yeah, Young Bucks win, but you think that's the end. Au contraire, mon frere. Butcher and the Blade and FTR get in the ring, and everybody goes nuts. They're all fighting each other. But you know, it's mostly they're fighting like the other people. So Butcher and Blade is fighting FTR, and the Young Bucks and FTR go after Butcher and Blade. You know, it's like it all worked out.
Yeah. Sure. It all worked out in the end.
Like that's enough people to qualify as a brawl for me. And so that's the second brawl of the night, and I'm not for that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, also, this is like, what, the third week in a row we've seen the same people in a brawl?
Yeah.
Boo.
And I mean, it's to the point now where I would give the match a thumbs up, but I'm putting it in the middle because I am tired of seeing that thing, this thing they're doing. They're not mixing it up enough for me. And I'm like, what? I don't care that the Butcher and the Blade and FTR are out fighting post-match. Like, thank you for finishing the match, because, mm-hmm. you know, if they had gone in and, like, you had to DQ because of this mess, right. I would have been even more pissed. But
WWE, they would have, for sure.
Oh, 100%. 1,000%.
Everything. But yeah, so it was, you know, satisfying in some ways. So yeah, I'm middling.
Yeah, it was okay. I'll middle it as well. I would like to know why they keep, like, harping on Jimmy Havoc's hair. They keep stressing, look, in spite of the way his hair looks, he is very good at the wrestling. Like, as if they have been getting, like, focus group notes, like, his hair makes us think he doesn't know how to wrestle.
Well, I think what they're trying to do, partially by putting him with Kip Sabian, and partially by via the announcers, is sort of get over that he's not just a deathmatch kind of guy. He's also actually a really, you know, a wrestler who's got a lot of solid, you know, technical skills and that sort of thing. Because they did talk a lot about how, about the British style of wrestling and how he's trained.
Yeah,
and
they
all that.
They brought that up. Like his haircut belies the fact that he's an expert at British style wrestling. Like, in what way?
Well, everyone had that haircut in the sixth grade, so.
Oh, yeah.
When everyone first started entering hormonal phases and emo.
Is that, you know, is Jimmy becoming a man? Oh, that's why he's finally becoming all man.
Yeah, he's finally 100%. 13, you guys. All right. So now the wonderful conclusion of what happened to Britt. So an hour has gone by, right? I kind of forgot about anything that happened to Britt. So it's kind of great that they called it back here because, you know, Britt's little minion goes out to find her. She finds her in a dumpster out back, and Britt starts going off. She's like talking to the camera and she's like, look, Big Swole. And then she was going off like, you'll pay fines and I will sue you and da da da. And she sounded like the most giant Karen. Like, she's got a steer left just a little to get out of this one because, like, she's, I mean, unless she just, that was like the whole thing because she likes to be unlikable, but, like, man, I was like, oh, yeah, yoy.
Yeah, she nailed it.
Yeah, she did.
I was quite fascinated with exactly, like, what happened to achieve her face markings, like, in the dumpster.
Because like she must have been crying.
It sort of looked like she was maybe crying, plus some raccoons tried to fix it up with their makeup kit.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some weird things going on. But, yeah. Looked like crying, and then there was blue eyeshadow. And dirt.
So, her whole vibe is becoming like very, very rich, and I'm enjoying that quite a bit. Like the constant notes feel like this great like new element of her being like a very irritating, malingering jerk. So all of tonight was welcome for her, and I was glad to hear some more conspirator talk as well. I'm a big fan of that.
And honestly, like, it's a very creative way to stay visible during a time when a lot of wrestlers would just be out, you know. So it's kind of a neat thing that she's been able to create moments for herself that still like promote her, you know.
From Britt to Sammy Guevara to MJF, they consistently find ways to keep the pilot light lit for anybody that's out like that. It feels like rarely Like that, like does that like lead to some like downtick in their appearances and the their push? Like that person is still always getting out there somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I give this whole bit a thumbs up.
Same. Oh, for sure, for sure.
So now we have the final match of the night, and before the match, Matt Hardy comes out to the announce desk, which I was excited to see because I just want him to be in every single episode. So Jericho Guevara versus the Best Friends. Guevara started singing again, but they cut to commercial. So I was like, we've been blessed. We are highly blessed and highly favored.
We get it.
It was entertaining. The twist at the end is my favorite, though. But it was like an entertaining match. It had all the stuff that you expect. The bat came out. Lots of, you know, no good Nick stuff from Jericho. You know, everyone keeps... Matt and the announcers could not stop saying such positive things about Guevara, which is cool. He's young and he's new and, you know, they're really trying to push him, which is great. And, of course, being... in the inner circle and being so heavily featured is helpful. I'm surprised he's even wrestling at all given his injury, but who knows? Maybe it's a fake injury. I don't fucking know. I was just really surprised at how much they keep talking about him. So I'm like really curious what the fuck is going to happen to Guevara. It's like a great, they've really gotten to me. They really did a good job at it because now I'm really curious. Well, what the fuck will happen to him? Matt Hardy keeps saying he wants to get him away from Jericho. Everyone's saying he's like a bright star and blah blah blah. So I'm like, what the fuck is gonna happen?
I think it's gonna end in a courtroom custody battle.
Everybody needs a dad.
Kramer versus Kramer with punching.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's been a minute since I watched that movie. I'm not recalling how much punching there might have been.
Not that much punching, but there was a lot of spandex. So,
yeah.
So, you know, the Best Friends win, which was great, but the best part was the cameraman who had been like following the whole night, or not night, but at least this match. Sets his camera down and then starts to take his face mask off and boom, it's Orange Cassidy. And he goes after Jericho and he's moving faster than I've ever seen. He did a Superman punch. They call it a Superman punch. I don't know if that's like a thing a lot of people do. I don't remember ever seeing it.
Roman Reigns does that.
It's one of the coolest things ever. Everybody should do it. If I was a wrestler, that would be my number one objective. Be able to do it and do it all the time.
There.
It was fucking cool as hell. And of course, Jericho beat the shit out of him, so he was all happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
How could you not?
This was a really neat like move to pull, and it was yet another case of like the people in their creative recognizing the potential that there is in unique circumstances, because it wouldn't have been realistic to hide a wrestler as a roving camera operator like that, except for right now.
Right.
So that was really cool.
And, you know, they had him dressed in all black or whatever, which is so not typical of Orange. Orange.
What
if I had a kid named Orange? There's nothing wrong with the name Orange, but it's just interesting.
No,
makes me think of like English aristocracy, how they name their kids like peaches, pear, or apple. You know what I mean?
Do they do that?
What? Oh, that does not. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, that is a thing amongst the powerful old money. There are lots of names like that.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like you would go to a coming out party of someone named Peaches.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. I could see like Figgy, Figgy could be there.
Yeah. I would say Figgy.
We're just thinking of stone fruits, right? So yeah. Like nectarine.
Cherry is pretty legit.
Oh, yeah. Pluot.
Pluot. kiwi could happen. Is that? That's not the same, is it? No, never mind.
It's more of a seeded fruit.
It's a seeded fruit, yeah. I'm sorry. I messed up.
If my child were very hirsute, I might call them Figgy. Or kiwi, rather. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that would work.
Yeah, like it's important to let your kids know how hairy they are.
From birth.
You want to be aspirational. Birth. Like, I want a kid with a big fucking beard. I'm going to name him something hairy. Yeah.
Like, no matter how they develop at first, just Wolfman. Just declare that they're Wolfman.
Yep.
Oh, look who finally woke up. It's Wolfman. Good morning, Wolfman.
Just like pretty hairy, just like normal, like they have a lot of peach fuzz all over, right? And it's long. And their baby, she's like a beautiful girl, you know, like whatever. She grew up, there's nothing wrong with her. But I just need to say, when you first see her, she was the hair was so long all over her body, like all her skin was covered in this really long peach fuzz. I'd never seen that before. But you know. There you go. She was born a little hairball.
Do you think you could use a regular razor to shave like the fuzz off of a peach or whatever if you don't like your fruits to be hairy, or do you need something special?
I believe that is a thing you can do.
You could test your razors that way.
I believe so.
Oh, yeah, I guess you could.
It's not a thing you should do, but it's definitely you can do.
Can do. I mean, like, what does it? Does it impair the fruit in some way?
It would impair. No, it impeaches razor. It.
Oh,
are we gonna rate this thing or not? Come on now.
thumbs up.
This is obviously a thumbs up. Yeah.
All right. I'm just checking because I've already done the math, assuming that it would be thumbs up all around. And this is an 83% show.
Ooh,
it's definitely worth watching.
Not too bad.
It is. This is a good show. I tell you.
For sure.
There's lots of good shit. Lots of good shit, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just.
No. You had something to say. By God, you say it.
No, I just was thinking about how legitimately excited I'm getting for Fyter Fest, and particularly how much like fun it's going to be to finally get that Moxley cage match, which like has been building without a ton of like really active stuff happening. We've been getting like promos and interviews and things like that.
We did forget to mention that there was. Quick to has a Taz and Cage promo. That was I'm into it.
That really like only like was some like remember we had that thing. But although like I did feel as though Brian Cage and Lance Archer possibly like have a timeshare of the same like vacant like lot space, because it looked an awful lot like that to me anyway.
Yes, 100%.
Pretty cool, man. Everybody, be careful out there. Be safe. Yeah.
Wear a goddamn mask. Try not to go out.
And be careful at home as well.
Pairs and be good and do what you got to do out there.
Yeah. I mean, do like, provided that you don't got to do like irresponsible things with face coverings and such.
Yeah, I don't know what would be irresponsible, but, you know. Do what you gotta do out there, but be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And take care of yourself. And talk to all your friends and family. Bye.
Bum 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 bum. Bum 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 bum.